The Lord says He forgives all our iniquities. Amen. He heals all our diseases. Note the connection between iniquities and diseases. Sometimes the iniquities have to do with us. Sometimes just the fact that we're in a world full of iniquities. Amen? we're not trying to be a private investigator to figure out what's the cause of this sickness. The point is to get you healed. One person believes that. That is the point. Sin is at the root of all disease. In the Garden of Eden, it was a beautiful place. There was no sin. There was no sickness. Amen? No coughing, no sneezing. Imagine. Right? No allergies, no tripping and, you know, scraping the elbow and bleeding, you know. There's none of that. Why? Because there was no sin. Amen? Sin is at the root of all disease. And in dealing with sin, God deals with sickness. Amen? How many of you know God's a root-oriented type person? Amen? He doesn't deal with the leaves on the tree. He deals with the roots. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, He cursed it at the roots. The Bible says it withered and dried up from the roots, not from the leaves backwards, but from the roots upwards. That's reverse of what we normally see. Trees don't usually die that way. They usually get a fungus or a mold or an attack outwardly on the trunk, the branches, the leaves, etc., and die that way toward the root. But Jesus cursed things from the root. In God dealing with sickness on behalf of you and I, He dealt with the root. And how did He deal with the root? Psalm 103. Verse 3 tells us, He forgiveth, say it again with me, He forgiveth all thine iniquities. How does God deal with sickness for you and I? He forgives us. Amen? Aren't you glad? Amen. He forgives us. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that in those verses, you have your Bibles open, right? You do understand that in China, the government's providing Bibles for people nowadays. You did know that, right? The government of China is now providing Bibles altered according to their thinking. For example, in the story where Jesus forgave the woman who was caught in adultery, it says that when, in the Chinese Bible, it says when the Pharisees heard it, they walked away. Remember that part in the story? They walked away. When Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone," they walked away. In the Chinese Bible, it says, "And Jesus picked up stones and stoned her himself." Imagine that. My point is, don't rely on the electronic Bible. Because there could come a day in our country when the government says, well, you know, that King James Bible has some hate speech towards certain sexual orientations, so we're going to shut down all apps related to the King James Bible. Are you with me? Amen. I love electronic Bibles. I use them all day long. When I study for my message, I use Blue Letter Bible. I'm using my phone. I'm all about it. But folks, you need to get you a book, a hard copy, that they can't take from you. And fall in love with it. Make yourself affectioned toward this book. Are you with me? Amen. Just a little soapbox there for a moment. Okay, let's go back to verse 3. Verse 3, you see it there on the page? Not on the screen, but it's on the screen too. Well, that's cheating, but it's on the page. He forgiveth all thy iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. All right? All thine iniquities. Underline that word thine or your. And healeth all your diseases. Amen. Thy diseases, your diseases. What are we saying there? You must personalize the work of redemption for it to benefit you. You know, it's easy sometimes to look at someone else in church and say, well, I'll pray for you. You're not feeling good. I'll pray for you today. Why? Because we don't see their sins. They do. Harder to have faith for yourself sometimes, isn't it? Are you with me?
Yes.
Because you know where you've tripped up. You know where you've lost your temper. You know where you've said something you shouldn't have said or thought something you shouldn't have thought. You're very aware. We all are, through our conscience, if you have one. We have one, right? You're all aware of your own iniquities. And therefore, it makes it difficult sometimes to have faith for God to heal thy diseases. Are you with me?
Yes.
But the good news right there, and this is Old Testament, mind you. It's a prophecy of that which was to come. He forgives all thine iniquities. God starts with the root, and He does it through forgiving our iniquities. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
God says, I've taken care of that. I've taken care of the sin issue. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Jesus took care of the sin issue for you and I.
Amen.
So that what? We could have healing in our bodies.
Yes.
He took care of the root so we can enjoy the fruit. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad. Look at verse 12 in that same chapter. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, you can go from the middle of the globe heading north, and at some point you'll begin heading where?
South.
And then north and south. But if you start in the middle of the globe and you start going east, you'll never get there. You'll never get to west, right? Notice how God chose east to west, not north to south. He wanted to draw us a picture of eternity, because if you start here and you start heading east, you're always going east. You never hit west. Not unlike going north to south. Are you with me? Did I lose you at the globe? He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far, amen, has he removed our transgressions from us. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Sin is removed and sickness too. That's the promise of this word. Sin is removed and sickness too. If you're taking notes, that's a good phrase. Sin is removed and sickness too. Redemption is a complete arrangement from God. Complete arrangement. He shows us through his word that with forgiveness comes what? Healing. Healing for our bodies. Amen? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let me say this about that first verse. Where the report is believed, the arm is revealed.
Amen.
And only there, quite honestly. Unless God's just dropping a mercy bomb. And sometimes he does that. But you can't count on that. It's by his choosing. Amen? But if you'll choose to believe the report, what will happen for you is the arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. What is the arm of the Lord? That's his full might, his full power, his full strength on your behalf. Where the report is believed, amen, the arm is revealed. Say that with me. Where the report is believed, the arm is revealed. If you're taking notes, that's a good point right there. Where the report is believed, the arm is revealed. Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him. That's talking about Jesus before the Father. As a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. He's rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. What was happening there? People did not recognize that Jesus' glory was in here. It was in his earthen vessel. They saw him just as a man. And over again, Jesus was rejected for his message. He'd go to this town and they would reject him because he wasn't like the Pharisees, like the religious leaders. Or he'd go to this place and he would heal the sick and the religious leaders would get so jealous of him. They would reject him and shoo him out of town. That's what this verse is saying. And then it goes on in verse 4. Surely, say surely.
Surely.
Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. In other words, those weren't his own sorrows he was carrying. It was for us that he suffered. Amen? Underline those phrases there in that verse 4. Our griefs, our sorrows. Let me say this about griefs and sorrows. That's the way the King James translates it, griefs and sorrows. Some of the proper translations go on to describe it in the original Hebrew, which is more accurate, sickness and pain. Sickness and pain. But let me say this about grief and sorrow. Grief and sorrow will lead to sickness.
Yes.
If you've got grief in your life, get it out. If you've got a grievance, get it off your chest. If you've got sorrow, find a way into happiness. Why? Because you internalize those things and eventually they will eat you up. Now, medical science even proves that. The word says it over and over again. We see verses all throughout the Bible that deal with this very thing. That sorrow will lead to pain, will lead to sickness. Amen. Grief will take you down to a place where you will physically, you will be in ailment because of that grief if you don't deal with it. But aren't you glad Jesus came and dealt with it?
Yes. Thank you.
Verse 4, man, what a verse. If we only had one verse in the Bible to chew on, what we could produce from verse 4. Let's look at it again. Surely he hath borne our griefs or sicknesses. He has carried our sorrows, our pains. That's the original Hebrew language. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, we thought it was because of his own sin that he was being punished. But it was our sin he was being punished for. Amen? That word born there in verse 4, by the way, carries this idea. We talked about this last week. He carried it away. Because we don't use that in our modern language much. We don't say he is born such and such, right? But the idea is that he carried the sickness. He carried the pain. Or in other words, to be more specific, he removed it. He removed it. He eradicated it. He took it away. Do you believe that verse?
Yes.
Do you believe Jesus took your sicknesses?
Yes.
Carried your pains? Well, that's the truth. I wrote this phrase down. Jesus Christ has carried away all my sickness, all my pain. Let's say that together. Jesus Christ has carried away all my sickness, all my pain. One more time. Jesus Christ has carried away all my sickness, all my pain. That's what Isaiah 53:4 is telling us. And look at verse 5. Verse 5 is the conclusion of the matter. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our. You should circle or highlight the word our twice there in that verse. Again, it's pointing to this was for us. He did this. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, the punishment that it took to earn us peace. And look at the last part. With his stripes. Read it out loud with me. With his stripes, we are healed. One more time out loud. Strong. Come on, like you believe it. With his stripes, we are healed. Done. Healed has an ED on it. Past tense. Now, I'll remind you what we said last week. The prophet is living during a time that his country is literally being overrun by foreign armies. He's seeing the collapse of his nation before him. And in the midst of all this craziness that's happening to Isaiah, he looks up. And what does he see? Jesus. It's about time for us to do the same, don't you think? Feels like sometimes the world around us is collapsing. Make sure you keep your eye on Jesus. Surely he doesn't get lost in, he doesn't get caught up in, oh my goodness, the economy is crashing. You know, we don't have much food in Samaria. We don't, you know, it's hard to find a good donkey these days. He's not thinking about any of the things around him in Israel at that moment, even though the nation is literally tearing itself apart because of idolatry. He has a vision of Jesus 700 years before the Lamb arrived on earth. And in this vision, he sees Jesus taking your sickness, taking your pain, being whipped at the whipping post, being beaten so that we could have peace. He sees the crown of thorns like we sang about this morning. He looks at the Lamb and he sees that crown being pushed into Jesus' brow. And he's writing here, he's describing what he's seeing. And he gives us the end result of all that suffering with his stripes. He sees it in real time like it's happening right in front of him. And he declares, this is the outcome. Amen. Aren't you glad? Yes. This is the outcome. With his stripes, we are healed. Yes. 700 years before Jesus arrived and about 2,700 before you arrived, the prophet saw you healed by Jesus' stripes. Hallelujah. This, I want to tell you something. Calvary is an eternal work. When you stepped into salvation, when you said yes to Jesus with your life all of a sudden got plugged into an eternal work that began 2,000 years ago at Calvary. When Jesus took those stripes on his back, he wasn't just suffering in his flesh. An eternal work was being brought to bear in his flesh that would affect all of mankind who would receive it. Forgiveness of sins, healing of the body. He purchased that for you and I. And when we say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden, what happened to him gets appropriated, gets affected upon our life so that it becomes real. Amen? That's what happened when you got saved. When you said yes to the cross, you said, I believe God has forgiven me my sins because of what Jesus suffered. All of a sudden, salvation became yours. Forgiveness of sins became reality to you. Well, it's the same way with sickness. Same way with divine healing. You know, when we were kids, we played with a little red thing called an Etch-a-Sketch. How many of you ever played with an Etch-a-Sketch with the two knobs, right? I love those things. And at the end of the picture, especially if you messed it up, you go, oh, it's not right. What do? You shake it, right? And nowadays, I think they have a modern version where you slide something. It's kind of the same idea, but it's not the same. But they had a little slider thing, and when you go, shoo, shoo, all of a sudden, it's a new slate. And when Jesus took the stripes on his back for you and I 2,000 years ago, every sniffle, every allergic reaction, every weekend warrior injury, long-term self-induced health issue, traumatic accident wound, or life-threatening ailment was all of a sudden healed.
Amen.
Healed.
Amen.
For all of mankind who would receive it.
That's right.
And that's why the prophet starts the chapter, Lord, who's going to believe this? Who could ever believe what I'm seeing? Who would be open to seeing God's power move in their life after what I'm seeing? But for those who receive it, disease healed. Shoo, shoo. Ailment healed. You say, well, I caused it myself. I did something stupid. I got in a car wreck and it broke my arm. Shoo, shoo. Healed. Doesn't matter. See, Jesus looked through eternity. When he took those stripes on his back, he looked down the road. He saw everything you and I would ever intake into our body. Self-induced. People around us got us sick. The world around us got us sick. As I said, injuries, etc. All of it. Even the dumb stuff we do that causes the sickness ourselves. It doesn't matter. Do you think it matters to Jesus? You think he points at that and says, oh, well, you brought that on yourself, so you're going to have to live with it. That's not a merciful God. We needed mercy, right? Because we do dumb things, right? You go out on a freezing cold day, you're not dressed, you know, adequately or whatever, and you give yourself a cold through your bad choices. It's all right. Jesus has healed you by his stripes. So again, it helps us to picture this truth if we compare it to our forgiveness. Because you have to believe that Jesus' blood shed for you at Calvary washed away all your sins, not just to the point that you accepted him as your Savior, but even after you got saved. And see, sometimes for us as Christians, that's harder to receive, right? Because for a Christian to sin, we know better, right? A heathen, they don't know any better. They don't feel the pain. They don't feel what they're doing to God, right? We expect that God is merciful to a lost person to forgive them of their sins. But after we're born again and we know better and we transgress, sometimes it's harder for us to receive it. But I'm telling you, Calvary's blood shed for your whole lifetime. It covered your entire lifetime of sins from the point that you accepted Jesus, even before Christ, at Christ, and thereon. Your sins have been washed away by the blood. All sins. And in the same way, all your diseases healed. You say, well, if that is true, and it is true, right? We believe the book is true, don't we?
Yes.
Do you believe this more than you believe your body? Sometimes your body will yell pain at you pretty loud. You know, when you have pain in your body, when you're feeling it, it's hard to get past that voice. That voice is screaming at you. Nerves can talk, right? Bodies can talk. This talks louder.
Yes.
And this is true. Amen. No matter how your body's feeling, this truth that the prophet declares here, by his stripes, we are healed. That is true. The prophet saw it. Jesus performed it 700 years later, and it is true to this day. Peter declared, looking back at the cross, he said, with his stripes ye were healed, talking past tense, when he wrote the book of 1 Peter. You say, well, how do I make that real in my life? I'm still feeling pain. I still have these symptoms. It's real simple. I'm going to give you a simple formula today. It's not hard. A five-year-old could catch this. If the kids were in here today, I could be teaching children's church this lesson. It's real simple. Agree with God.
Yes.
Agree with God. Agree with what he says about your situation, not what your body is telling you. What do I mean by agree with God? Believe what he says and say what he says.
Yes.
Two things to break it down a little more specifically. Agree with God. And how do we agree? We believe what he says in regards to the matter and we say what he says. Are you with me?
Yes.
We say what he says. I like something I heard Keith Moore say this last week or two. He said this. He said, if you will say what he says, he will do what you say. That's really good. If you will say what he says, he will do. In other words, his power will affect what you say. But you're going to have to agree with it with your words. That's how faith operates. Faith for divine healing operates that way. You must believe in your heart, say with your mouth. Amen? We believe what he says, we say what he says, and he affects the situation with his power. We hear these phrases in the New Testament quite a bit. And in the kingdom, you'll hear these two ideas, grace and faith. Grace and faith, right? You'll see that all throughout the New Testament, Paul's writing especially, those two words. And in fact, many times when he's greeting the church, he'll say, grace to you, right?
Yeah.
Right? And usually wherever you find that idea of grace mentioned in the New Testament, you'll see the word faith not too far. Because grace has to do with God's part, which was giving. Faith has to do with our part, which is what? Taking or receiving. Amen? Say that with me. Taking and receiving. That's faith. That's our part. Learn your part. Because God's done his part. He did it. The Bible says the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And then this thing was a finished work before creation ever began. God knew what would happen with man. He knew that if he gave him a free will, he would choose sin and disobedience. In fact, he even gave an immune system before there was a sickness. Isn't that amazing? What a thoughtful God. Amen. Why would we need an immune system in our physical body except that God knew sin was coming, sickness was coming? He looked ahead. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. The Bible says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. What is that? God has given us everything we need in Christ Jesus. That's grace. God has already given it to us. Amen? But how do we make it good? You say, you know, it doesn't matter if a billionaire says, hey, I made a great deposit in your bank account, but you don't go down with a withdrawal slip, he might as well put a penny in there, right? Same as $1 billion. If you don't go get it, it has no, the effect is the same because you won't go take the money out, right? You're still processing that. A billionaire puts $1 billion in your bank account and says, it's yours. So you say, thanks, but you don't go down and get it. If you're already behind on your car payment, next month you'll be behind on your car payment. Why? Because you didn't go down and take advantage of the money he deposited. Yeah. Or if he, you know, it might as well have been a penny or a bill. It wouldn't have made a difference if you're not going to go get it. Are you with me? Yeah. All right. Most of you are. Okay. You got that. Yeah. Faith opens the door for God's power to manifest. Say that with me. Faith opens the door for God's power to manifest. Andrew Womack said this. This is really good. Faith doesn't make God do anything. It simply appropriates what God has already done in the work of Calvary. Now, that's a clear understanding, is it not? See, some people say, all that faith stuff, you're just trying to twist God's arm, get him to do something for you. No, God's already done it for me. He's already put it in my bank account, right? I'm just going to go make my withdrawal. See, faith makes the withdrawal on grace. And what do we know from scriptures? I've just read two verses to you today that the scriptures tell us regarding our health. Psalm 103 and Isaiah 53. God has healed us with his stripes. He has forgiven all our sins. He has healed all our diseases. Are you with me? We know that. We know that's in our bank account.
Amen.
So what do? We draw on that. How do we draw on that? We believe it in our heart and we say it with our mouth. Now you don't say it this way. You don't say, God is going to heal me. That's not faith. What is that? That's hope. Hope looks to the future. Faith always talks about now. See, this is what's really different about New Testament gospel. And a lot of churches don't get this. And that's why a lot of Christians don't get their healing. Because they have a projected looking down the road. You don't have to look down the road anymore. The road's that way. The road's 2,000 years back. Calvary, right? That's where we look. And what did God say about Calvary? 700 years before Calvary happened, he commented and said, healed. Done. So proper faith looks back to the finished work and speaks as if it's done, because it truly is done. Now, let me say this today. There may be some Christians in here that have been healed before of little minor things, colds, flus, earaches, things that, you know, not life-threatening at the moment, right? You ever received from the Lord? I'm talking about you prayed and the Lord touched it and it went away. Anybody had that encounter? All right. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one, but some of us may be dealing with something in our body that's been a little more long-term, right? A pain in your back, sore shoulder, a digestive issue that's just been plaguing you for a good while, right? And that's a little more long-term. That's a lot more challenging to our faith. But I'm telling you, the same God that healed you of the whatever, the little thing, has already healed you of the big thing, as we call it, the big thing. It's not big to him. When you're God Almighty, nothing's big to you because nothing's bigger than you. You're the biggest. You're the baddest. That's it. It doesn't get any bigger. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Again, here's how we extend the hand of faith. We believe what God says. We say what he says. But we say it in the proper tense. If he calls it past tense, by his stripes, you were healed. We don't say God's going to heal me future tense. We say it the way he says it, right? We declare what's true. You say, well, I don't feel any different. I don't even really believe that in my heart. Keep saying it. You can nurture your faith by what your ears hear. You say it with your mouth. You know, we do this all the time in the negative. We school our faith in the negative. You've been saying things since you were a kid about yourself. I'm terrible at such and such. You fill in the blank, right? You've been saying things about yourself like that all your life. I have too. And we're working on getting that out of our vocabulary, aren't we?
Amen.
Half of you. The other half, we're going to pray for you. Why? Because what you say, you reinforce. You're reinforcing your faith by your words. I realized the other day, I've said for years, I'm just terrible at putting eye drops in my eyes. And guess what? My eyes blink every time. I'm changing my words. Why? Because I've schooled my heart to believe something about my habits, and I'm living up to my faith. So I'm changing that. But you can school your faith. You can train your faith by what you say. And there comes a point in faith, I would say, I'm not going to use the word magic. That's how someone in the world would say it. But there comes this moment of impact where what you've been saying and what you've been straining to believe, all of a sudden it connects and your faith connects. And in that moment, it's like something connect, like two wires in electricity, you know, or two things, however that works. And what happens? The power can, all of a sudden it can arc and it transfers, right? In that moment, something changes. Well, in regards to what we're talking about today, we would say that's the power of God released, right? In someone's body, that's the manifestation, if you will. The manifestation comes when the faith rises up to take. You say, well, how long will that take? No one can tell you. That's the mystery part. That's the part where it's a battle of, you know, it's like playing chicken. Like two guys, you know, how they do that? They still do that anymore? Two race cars coming at each other, right? See who's going to swerve or who's going to flinch. See, the devil's looking to see how long you'll keep it up. You wait, you know, you're having a good day. You've been confessing. You've been believing. Man, think you've been seeing about a 20, 30% change in your body. And all of a sudden, something changes. The next day, you wake up and it's 40% more painful. Well, now what? Are you going to flinch? Yes. You turn up the heat. You say it twice as much. And you believe it just as much. Amen? Why? Because we don't listen to our symptoms. If you don't feel holy on Monday morning, are you holy?
Yes.
Why? Because the blood has forgiven you all your iniquities. Amen? You have been cleansed of all your iniquities, whether you feel it or not.
Amen.
That's what faith is all about. It wouldn't be faith if you felt it, necessarily. Now, when you get to a point that your faith has taken that thing, you will feel something. You'll feel better in your body. You'll feel better about yourself when you believe you are truly forgiven. Amen? But faith has to take it. That's what faith is all about. God saw darkness, and God said, "Whew, would someone please turn on a light? It's really dark in here." No. He said, "Light."
Yes.
In the original Hebrew, it's "light be." He saw darkness, but he said something different than what he saw. You and I see pain. We see symptoms. We see increase in whatever. And we feel like running to the hospital, the doctor, the emergency clinic, all the more. I'm not saying don't go if you need to go. But I'm talking about if you're applying your faith and you're standing. And just because the symptoms have gotten more intense, it doesn't mean you declare the symptoms. You declare the truth.
Amen.
What is the truth? He forgiveth all my iniquities. He healeth all my diseases. And that was before the cross, you understand. They actually were speaking in forward, looking forward. He healeth. Healeth is like going to happen. But again, Isaiah sees it as done. And he says, by his stripes, we were healed.
Amen.
We are healed. We were healed. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth was ministering to a man. Smith Wigglesworth, if you don't know the man, he was a plumber in England. And he's credited with raising numerous people from the dead, had an amazing healing ministry about 100 years ago, lived up until, I don't know when Smith Wigglesworth died, probably the mid of last century or so. Someone could tell me exactly if you've studied him more than I have, but amazing man of God. He was ministering healing to a man one time, and the guy was still having pain in his shoulder. And Smith asked him, he said, "Listen, let me ask you something. Were you saved before you believed or after you believed?" And the man said, "I got it." Smith said, "You're going to be healed the same way." How's that? After you believe. Are you with me?
Amen.
So the symptoms begin to change. The symptoms that begin to improve when? Before you believe or after you believe? Amen? There's a divine order here. You got to stay in order. You got your sins forgiven after you believed. You'll get your body healed after you believe. Are you with me?
Yes.
Praise God. Ezekiel 37 is an amazing chapter. You know it if you've heard it, or maybe you don't know the reference, but you've heard people talk about dry bones. Ever heard the story of dry bones?
Yes.
There's songs that have been written about it, great songs, about God bringing dry bones to life. It's a picture of something that's beyond hope. A bone is pretty helpless on its own, right? Let alone a dry bone. And so that's a picture. The prophet, the Bible says in Ezekiel 37, the opening verse of that chapter, it says, "The hand of God was upon me, and I was carried away in the spirit." Wow, that's two powerful things right there, right? "And I heard words. Words were given me to declare to this valley of dry bones." And not just the words, but God told him what would happen when he declared the words. He said, what will happen is these bones will come to life. Sinew will come on them. Tissue will come. But there was no movement in the valley, not a sound to be heard until the prophet uttered a word. Why? Because faith speaks. Amen. You can be full of the word. You can say, I believe it in my heart. And that truly is what's happening. You are believing in your heart. But you've got to do what?
Speak.
Because faith speaks. And what does faith speak? Well, it speaks what God says. Talks God's way. God said to Abraham, he had a wife who had a barren woman. He said, you're a father of many nations. He didn't even have one child. That's the way God talks. It's a little funny to the natural mind, right? But that's the way God talks. And so if we're going to be children of faith, we're going to talk his way, even when symptoms don't line up, even when outward things don't appear to be changing or they're getting worse. Ladies, you're praying for your husband, come closer to Jesus, and he's getting more rowdy, more worse, keep speaking the word.
Amen.
It usually is a sign of the end. The devil's just, he's having a wrestling match with you, and he's about to let go of that sucker. I reread the story of David yesterday when he fought Goliath. Wow, what an amazing, amazing. It would make such a great movie for someone to do it upright. You know who did it upright years ago? Wilson Tennis. Not the whole story, but they did a scene. They did this tennis ball advertisement. You can find it on YouTube. It's the best depiction of David versus Goliath I've ever seen. It's a commercial they did back probably in the 70s. But it looks the most real. The Philistines look the grungiest, most wicked soldiers. And you know, the little guy that comes out there, that's David. But instead of slinging a stone, he slings and it hits the giant and it leaves a W on his forehead. It's awesome. It's a great commercial. Seen it, Ben? Okay. But anyways, it would make a great movie, would it not? The whole story. When I get to heaven, I told the Lord last night, I was laying my head on my pillow. I said, God, I want to see that movie. I want to see that replay when I get to heaven, the actual event. It's such an amazing story. 17, 18-year-old boy takes on the equivalent of a Navy SEAL who's got 9 feet or more in height against him. There's a house in Alvin. They still got their Halloween decorations up. They got one of those oversized skeletons, real creepy looking things. And I look at that every time I drive by and I go, that's about how big Goliath was. Anyways. 1 Samuel 17, if you've not read the story in a while. The summary of the whole story is found in verse 50. You got it, Ben? 1 Samuel 17:50. Look at it right here on the screen as soon as he pulls it up. It talks about how David won the battle. So David prevailed. Read it with me. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. Wow. Think about it. A slingshot and a stone against weapons of war and massive size and years of experience as a warrior. But note how he did it. With a sling and a stone. Say it with me. A sling and a stone. And you've got one too. The sling is your tongue and the stone is the word. And that's how you'll defeat every giant in your life as well, with a sling and with a stone. The sling tells us we've got to do something. We've got to hurl something. That stone doesn't do you any good in the shepherd's pouch. You got to hurl that baby. And then it will do good because God empowers it. You say, what does it really do any good to speak over and over again, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed? You sound like a parrot because God puts his power where we put our faith. God puts his power where we put our faith. Turn to Luke 13. We'll wind down with this. Luke 13. And then we're going to pray for those that are sick. So gear up your faith. Amen. In a moment, we're going to call you forward. If you have sickness in your body, I don't need to know what it is. God knows. You know. We're just going to anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith, the Bible says, will save the sick. But listen, don't depend just on my prayer. You bring your faith to this altar. If you've got aches and pains in your body, you've got a condition that the doctors have said, there's no hope, there's no cure, there's no whatever. I've got a cure. His name is Jesus. And Isaiah the prophet told us 700 years before it happened, with his stripes, you are healed. And we're going to declare that word over you. We're going to see you healed by the power of God. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 10. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. See, notice in this case, she had a spirit of infirmity. Sometimes the enemy comes. I don't say this to spook you. Sometimes sickness is literally a spirit. And if you could see, if you could put glasses on and see in the spirit world, sometimes you'd see something attached to a person's body. Not your body, of course. Your body's great. But another person's body. I'm kidding. You would see attached to them a spirit, because sometimes spirits literally bring sickness. Not always. But in this case, it was. You notice that? A spirit of infirmity. 18 years. She was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity." That's a funny thing to say. She's still bowed over, right? She comes to him bowed. It's just the same way she's been all these 18 years. There's no change. And before Jesus does anything, he says what he's done through Calvary. Amen. I want to say this about all the healings that took place in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were all an appetizer for what would be available to all mankind after Calvary. Amen. Amen. Every healing, every miracle. That's why it just flowed out of Jesus so freely, because he was giving it to his people, the Jews, first. They were the recipients first of. Why? Because they gave us the Messiah. Amen. Right?
Yes.
Jesus is, as Pilate declared, the King of the Jews. Amen? Don't let anybody steer you away from honoring, respecting, a proper mindset toward a nation across the seas right now that's in turmoil in Israel, full of the Jews. Because Jesus is their King. And Jesus came bringing healing, bringing miracles, bringing life to his people first, because that was an expression of what he was about to give all of mankind. Aren't you glad? This is why we Gentiles don't have to be jealous. They're supposed to be jealous of us. Did you know that?
Yes.
Paul declared the gospel in you is supposed to incite jealousy in the Jews. They're supposed to want what you have. Why? Because he's their Messiah originally. We'll learn more on that another sermon. But anyways, Jesus said, look at it again, "Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity." And then, verse 13, he did what? He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. What was the laying on of hands about? Jesus was transferring to her body the completed work of Calvary in advance. It was a power transfer. Amen? It was a power transfer. He was giving to her the finished work in advance of what he was about to do on Calvary. Verse 14, "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, said unto the people, there's 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed." He couldn't think of any other reason for, you know, giving Jesus a fit. So he's going to, you know, do the Sabbath day card. "Then Jesus answered and said, you hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering?" You know, healing's like a good drink of water, right? That's what Jesus compares it to here. It's like a good drink of water. But he says in verse 16, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," again, he's pointing her to being of the lineage of the Jews, "whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Faith words. Jesus spoke faith words before anything had happened. He said, "Woman, you're loosed. You're loosed." And then he made it real. But she had to believe something. And this is the way divine healing works. The word comes first, and the word declares to us a condition other than what we're seeing with our eyes. Are you with me? The word does not promise God will heal you. The word tells you you've already been healed. This is what we're having to process. I can see your wheels spinning. I'm telling you again, the word does not tell you God will heal you. The word tells you you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's done. It's finished. The word speaks in faith terms. This is actually, experts in ministry and divine healing will say this. You'll hear this all when you read their books, you go to their seminars. They'll say the best way to get your healing is this method of what we're talking about today. Taking the word of God at face value and believing it yourself. There are all kinds of ways to receive your healing. You can go to a mass meeting where someone really is anointed by God in gifts of healings, gifts of miracles. There have been many people over the last 100 years that had those kind of ministries, Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, Catherine Kuhlman, different people. They weren't perfect people, but God moved through them in power, unique power. People would walk out of those auditoriums. I went when I was a kid, 4 or 5 years old. My mom took me to a meeting down in Houston at the, used to be the Coliseum. It's not there anymore. Probably highways there now. But anyways, the Coliseum, Catherine Kuhlman ministering, and they would have oodles of wheelchairs and crutches just laid out all over the stage from people that got healed. Well, that's one way to get healed, but that's resting on the faith of that person that's gifted. And in the middle of the night, when sickness flares up in your body, it's a pretty good chance you might not be able to reach that faith healer on the hotline at that moment, right? And if you can't get a hold of your pastor or someone in your church to pray, how's the best way for you to take healing? With the word itself.
Amen.
Simply believe it at face value. Brother Hagin was ministering one time. Kenneth E. Hagin was ministering in a church. And there was a lady there in a wheelchair. She had been in a chair for a number of years. I don't remember the exact time frame. But she was at kind of at the end of the line. And he had been ministering for a long time. He'd been praying for people. They'd been getting healed, getting sicknesses cured. And he was exhausted, just physically exhausted. When you're giving out sometimes in ministry like that, once that anointing starts to lift, physically you're wore out. And he was at that point. And so he was getting ready to close out the service. And this lady comes forward and she wanted prayer. And he knew in his heart, he thought, that anointing's lifted off me. That, you know, that gifting of the Holy Spirit in that unique way. But he also knew this. Anybody can get healed by believing the word.
Amen.
It doesn't take laying on of hands. It doesn't take the elders of the church praying over them. It doesn't take a supernatural gift of healing or a gift of miracles flowing through a unique minister. And so what he did, he sat down on the altar with that lady. He put the Bible in her lap. And had her read 1 Peter 2:24. And as she read it slowly and saw those words that said, "And with his stripes, ye were healed," the light dawned in her. And he said, "So let's give thanks now." She looked up to heaven, smiled real big, said, "Thank you, Father. You've healed me. I thank you that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't have to spend any more time in this wheelchair that I've been suffering and being a burden on other people. I thank you so much." And faith began to rise in her heart. From the word we've been preaching this morning. And it rose so much, and Brother Hagin looked at her and said, "Now, my sister, arise in the name of Jesus." She got up out of that wheelchair by faith. She jumped up out of the wheelchair, danced a jig, and the church celebrated. And she got healed the simplest way that a believer can be healed, and that is to believe the word at face value. Anybody can do that. Praise the Lord. Also, when you get healed that way, it's easier to keep your healing because the enemy sometimes will challenge you with symptoms coming back again. It sometimes happens to people, not always. But those symptoms will try to lie to you again. Well, if you fought that hard to get your healing by the word of God, you'll know how to keep that healing and maintain it. Statistics have shown that many people that go to these mass meetings and get healed in that kind of atmosphere, it's an amazing atmosphere and the Holy Spirit is moving. It's real. These are real healings. But over time, many of those same individuals will lose their healing. Why? Because their faith was in the minister, not in the word. Are you with me?
Yes.
But so we're not denouncing that method is a good method to get healed. Hear me. It is a great method. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. It's like, you know, riding on someone else's strength. But then you come off that mountaintop experience. You've got to build yourself up in the word and know how to keep that healing. And it's doable. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. The Lord is present to heal. Amen? His power is present to heal. And where does God strike with his power? Where there's faith. Amen? Where there's faith, God puts his power on it. Faith doesn't earn the power. Faith is just the connecting point for the power to transfer. Amen? If you need healing in your bodies this morning, I want you to come. In these next few moments, we're not going to take a long time, but we're going to anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick, the Bible says. Amen. God will heal you. You will leave here restored because the power is here to touch you. Amen. And because your faith is up. You've just heard the word. Do you believe the word?
Amen.
Isaiah said it. Peter declared it.
Amen.
With his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we were healed. Amen. So we're not asking God to do something. We're taking what God has done. Are you ready to put the withdrawal slip in at the bank?
Yes.
That's what we're doing here this morning. We're just simply putting the withdrawal slip in. We're saying, "I'll take that $1 billion. Thank you." We're simply saying thank you. Now, I'm just joining my faith with you. The power's not in me. Well, I mean, I'm an earthen vessel. The power is in me. It's the Holy Ghost. But the power to effect healing in your body is also in your faith. Amen. Your faith in the Word today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just go ahead and lead in a worship chorus, Rachel. Something's on your heart. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven, those of you that are here. Those of you that are in the congregation, please pray in the Spirit right now. Just fill this atmosphere with faith. Let the faith of the Holy Ghost fill this room as these are being prayed for. Pray as if it were you needing the healing. Amen? Because your day will come too. We all have days that we need a touch from God. And this is their day. And we need the faith to rise so the power of God can do the work. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Give thanks. Let's give thanks. Hallelujah. We celebrate these healings, Lord. We celebrate your power released in us who believe. Your power released in these lives, Lord, to bring restoration, to bring health, divine health. Hallelujah. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Just sing it again at the mention of your name. Come on, let's sing it together. Hallelujah. At the mention of your name, Lord, every chain will break. I know everything will change. The name of Jesus. Jesus. Just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention of your name. Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's done. We thank you, Lord. We step into by faith today all that you've done at Calvary. Come on, just receive it into your life. For he has forgiven all our iniquities. He has healed all our diseases. It's a finished work. It's completed. When Jesus finished it, he said, "It is finished." And the Father made it good for all of eternity. All sins forgiven. All diseases healed in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give thanks. We give thanks. Praise the Lord. Well, we rejoice today. Amen. Faith is rising in us. And you know, we're just having to learn to speak a new way. Amen. Religion teaches you about future hope. Hope is good, right? It's not wrong to hope. But as it pertains to the finished work of Calvary, we don't hope, we believe. Right? And we say it the way God says it. Healed. Forgiven. Amen. It's finished. And we rejoice in it now. Faith rejoices now before it sees any change. Are you with me? Before you see any change, you rejoice. Believing. And God will make it good. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week and have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. Amen. Have a grateful heart.